Well, praise the Lord. What a blessing to come to church for worship and find worship. Amen. A sense of presence of God in this place, and just knowing that God's already meeting with us and God's going to speak to us. And what a great, great blessing it is to be in church. And so we're glad that you're here. We thank you for coming this morning. And this morning, after the music today, I want to preach, but I've already invited somebody else to do that for us this morning, and it wouldn't be right, right? I mean, just Brother Ron Jones is a good friend, and Ron and Twyla Jones. Twyla spoke at the ladies' conference this Friday and Saturday. And Brother Ron agreed to come and be with us. And they both of them have left their church and El Dorado, Kansas, to be with us this weekend. And that's, we appreciate that. We appreciate the sacrifice. It's not good for a pastor to be away from his home church. And I know most pastors, myself included, we want to be at our home church every Sunday. But I do appreciate his willingness to come and to be with us, both of their willingness to come and to be with us and minister to us this morning, and so I'm looking forward to that. And so Brother Ron's not a stranger to the church. He has preached our spring revival before, and he preaches at camps and preached to the young people several times at the Central Indiana Youth Rallies, and he did a great job this morning in Sunday school. If you weren't here, you need to plan on being here at 10 o'clock for Sunday school. God's word is already settled, amen. What a great message in Sunday school this morning. Looking forward to what God's put on his heart for us this morning in our worship service. So Brother Ron, you come.
Amen. Amen. Thank you very much, Brother Dan. And he said twice now that I'm stranger, no stranger. Some of you are probably going to think he's stranger than most people I know. And then I know some of you ladies already have the wrong idea about me, because I know Twyla spreads gossip and rumors about her husband and her family. We're good people. Don't believe her. She's a good woman, but sometimes she has trouble keeping the facts straight. Or that could be me. I'm not sure, but I'm very thankful, and most of you ladies look like you're going to be wide awake. I've already noticed some of the men are drifting, so that's okay. But what must have been a very good ladies' conference, I thank the ladies and the gentleman who stuck around yesterday and cleaned up. It's a good testimony for a church to be able to do that post-haste. I mean, it looks totally different than it did when I was here on Friday and Saturday, and that took a lot of work. So you are to be congratulated, but like the preacher said, don't get any rest, because it's time to keep moving forward, all right? You did good later. You did good back here. Time to move forward, and that's what we're going to do this morning. If you take your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter number 2. Amazing how the Lord puts together music. Brother Jeremiah had no idea what I was going to be preaching on. I didn't tell anybody. In fact, the Lord didn't even tell me until just a couple of seconds. No, I'm just kidding. Whenever Brother Dan asked if I would come along, I did pray about it, because I have been, I did 6 camps this year out, and so if I get a little youth campy, just go with it, all right? Don't, everybody hang with me, and if I cry like a baby or whatever, you'll understand. I've just been with young people too long, and it wears off. Galatians chapter number 1 is where we're going to begin. Then we're going to jump over to chapter number 2. If you'd stand with me once you get there for the reading of God's word. Galatians chapter number 1. And we're going to read just a couple of verses there. Beginning in verse number 6, if you would with me. Paul, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, writes, "I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed." Now go over to chapter number 2, verse number 11. "But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face, because he was to be blamed. For before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles. But when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision. And the other Jews disassembled likewise unto him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. But if, while we seek to be justified by Christ, we ourselves also are found sinners, is therefore Christ the minister of sin? God forbid. For if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I am through the law, for I through the law am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. And I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. I want to talk to you a little bit this morning, preach to you about your choice of how you're going to, first of all, live. Will it be faith or works? Second of all, as a believer, how will you live? By faith or by works? Very interesting. The choice that the churches of Galatia made, that many Christians are still making in error today. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for your love for us and for your word, for the truth of your word, the fact that we can depend on it. We know that it is settled forever in heaven. We're very thankful for that. I pray this morning that you'd give us spiritual ears, a spiritual heart to hear. Lord, that we would at the time of invitation, truly worship by falling down before you. Thank you so much for the movement of your Spirit in this service already through the music, through the fellowship. And now, Lord, I pray that your Spirit would have freedom to rule and reign and to affect our lives and do his work in our hearts this morning as is intended by your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. You may be seated. First of all, let's establish what is being said here in the first chapter of Galatians so that we can kind of move on. If you are looking for another answer to salvation or something to be added to salvation, which is what the churches of Galatia were facing, it was not uncommon in that day where Paul would go and preach against, or not against, but go and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that there would rise up against him Jews in that area, or Jews that would come out of Jerusalem that would follow after him and preach that, yes, Jesus is part of the solution, but there's also this other part, which is the law. And much of that was spent on, quite frankly, entering into the relationship with God through Jesus Christ, but also through circumcision. And then associated with that was the fact that they had to keep the law. So you have to walk in the Ten Commandments. You have to, they were required to come back to Jerusalem, keep sacrifices. I mean, it was a big deal that it wasn't just grace that saved you, that God had also added on these other things and these burdens. And so when the Jews would come, they would, as you can well imagine, create quite a stir. If you read the book of Acts, certainly everywhere that Paul went, there were those who rose up that were Jews out of the synagogue who believed that he was preaching heresy and he was preaching against the law. All he was preaching was this very thing, that Jesus Christ died according to the scriptures, that he was buried and rose again the third day according to the scriptures, that he was seen above 500, and that he was seen by Peter, and then finally by Paul, who all of these people verified that he in essence, or he in truth, was God in the flesh who came to fulfill the law so that man would not have to keep the law to please God. Now, that was the gospel, and listen to me, still is the gospel. There is no other gospel. There's no gospel that says if you have enough faith, you can be healed from all your diseases. That's not another gospel. There is no other gospel. There's not a gospel out there that says, if you give by faith, God will give you more money by faith. That is not what the Bible says. The Bible's very plain. There is one gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he died according to the scriptures. He lived a perfect, sinless life on this planet. He fulfilled the law completely. He was crucified and became the only acceptable sacrifice to God. Also, the only high priest who could go before God and sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat, and it would be received as enough, every drop enough to save every soul that would ever live in the world or had ever lived, to cover every sin that had ever been committed or we would be committed. Now, this is the gospel that Paul had preached to the churches of Galatia. He didn't go in and try to make them Jews. Now, this message isn't whether or not you're going to follow the law, because most of us, in fact, I don't know, there may be some actual Jewish people here, so I'm not going to say there aren't, because I've done that, and then somebody comes up and says, you don't know what you're talking about, I'm a Jew. You should not say that there are no Jews in the church. I'm very sorry, I shouldn't say that. So I'm not saying that. You may be of Jewish descent. That's not the question here. That was not the argument. In fact, in chapter number 2, he says, the only way for Jews to be saved is the same way the Gentiles get saved, by that same gospel. Okay. So, what we want to establish, first of all, is that we're not preaching different gospels. I'm not trying to tell you there's one way to heaven. If you're here this morning, you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven. The Bible says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. There are none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God, no, not one. Listen, people are not going to find God on their own. There's only one way to heaven. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You're a Christian here. You're saying, why do we have to hear the plan of salvation? You know, I've known people that have sat in church for 30 years, and one day a preacher was just preaching the gospel, and they said, hey, I've never accepted the gospel. I've tried to do everything to be saved, when there's only one way to be saved, and that's by the blood of Jesus Christ. You heard the choir sing about it. This is not something we do because it's some fake out that somebody came up with. The gospel is the gospel. There is, according to verse number 7, no other gospel in chapter number 1. There is no other gospel. In fact, if any man comes and preaches it, he is accursed. Let's think about that for a minute. There are preachers on the television who have beautiful hair, blink their eyes really fast. They talk like a great Southerner. They have such a soft voice. You know, God loves you. He does. All you need to do is just pray this prayer, and we believe you're saved. Do you know what? It doesn't matter what we believe. It matters what the Bible says. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know what? Words don't save you. It's the belief in your heart that saves you. That gospel has not changed since the time of Jesus Christ, and it will not change until the world is over. There is no other gospel. Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven. If you're here today, you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you're not going to heaven. Not by my words, by the words of the scripture. Jesus, as I've already said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, I'm a woman, so that means I get to go. Man means mankind. Let's all establish that. Yes, God knew exactly what he was writing when he wrote it. We don't need to say, well, this is for men, this is for women. There are things that are for men. There are things that are for women. Like, I don't want to be in subjection to my own wife. There's a lot of husbands that believe that that's what the Bible says. I don't believe that. And I'm very thankful that she's into subjection to me, usually. And so, just being honest, I'm just being honest. No, she is. It's bad. And so, it's really bad. I'm dead. It's sad. Let's have a moment of silence. Anyway, I'm very thankful that my wife believes the scriptures and follows the scriptures and doesn't try to place herself somewhere where she's not. She doesn't, actually, if you asked her, do you want to be the authority in the family? She would say no. So evidently, God's designed a pretty good plan there. Now, if you and I can agree with that, then we should very easily be able to just agree with, I am saved only one way. I'm not saved by any works. And now let's add this, works don't make me more acceptable to God. You're as acceptable as you're going to be to God. That's where we struggle, and that's where we are in chapter number 2. See, they're all sitting down eating, and Peter's there eating with all of the Galatian Christians, and they're eating, and they're... And then the Jews come. Peter stands up, and Barnabas stands up, and they all go over here like this. Like all of the Gentile Christians were dirty. Because it was very common in that day that the Jews believed that they should have nothing to do with the Gentiles, and it was for a purpose. The Gentiles were saved out of religions that worshiped false gods. Many times they ate meats from the meat shops that just happened to also be places where they offered sacrifice to false gods. And they had dealt with this issue. If you go back to the book of Acts in chapter number 15 or 13, they dealt with this issue. Paul came to Jerusalem. They dealt with the issue of whether they had to follow the law. They dealt with the issue of whether or not they had to agree with all of the things of the law, or if, in fact, that the Jews and the Gentiles were both saved alike. And in chapter number 13 of Acts, in verse number 37 and 38, Peter stands up and says, listen to these words, we are saved. He didn't say they are saved. He said, and we are saved the same way they are saved. We receive the Spirit of God the same way they receive the Spirit of God. He made it very emphatic that the gospel was Jesus Christ alone, minus nothing, plus nothing. It's not Jesus Christ and baptism. That's not another gospel. It's not Jesus Christ and good works. That's not another gospel. There is no other gospel. The only way to be acceptable to God is through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now they're all, well, like, here's the Jews and we don't want to be identified with them. So here's Paul's response to Peter. And he says this in verse number 13. And the other Jews disassembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also carried away with the dissimulation. But when I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all. Now this isn't where he stopped. This entire section of scripture is Paul preaching to Peter. So he says to him, first of all, if thou being a Jew livest after the manner of Gentiles and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles to live as do the Jews? We who are Jews by nature and not sinners of the Gentiles, sinners, knowing the man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. The first point that he wants to get across to Peter, and I believe it, you know, the Bible is inspired and is still here in 2015 in these exact words so that you and I can catch something. And it's this. Do you know, once you've accepted Jesus Christ, first of all, let's start here. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ, you can go to this church. You can come to the ladies' conference. You can go to visitation. You can give. You can witness. You can sit close or far. And if you're a good Baptist, everybody knows good Baptists sit way in the back. So all you people that are close, sorry. But You sit back in the back. You say, I was a good Baptist. I sat in the back all the time. I mean, I came in and I never smiled. Never. I never said amen when they were singing those songs. I was a good, solid Baptist. Do you know you can be a good, solid Baptist, be baptized, been baptized 15 times. I don't care. You only need to be baptized once. But if you've been baptized 15 times, you know that doesn't, you don't go to heaven by that. That's not how you go to heaven. You go to heaven by Jesus Christ. You say, well, Brother Ron, you said that. Ah, so check this out. So here's what he says. Wait a minute. If we're saved, and we are, and this is going somewhere, so hang with me, because some of you are going to go, oh, pff, pff, pff. Just listen, because it's in the Bible, right? So if I am saved by faith, and I do attend church, do I have to do those works and live this certain kind of stringent life that causes me to be a Christian? Let me tell you what I mean by that. First of all, let's establish. I am certainly not against people doing all of the things I said. Coming to church faithfully, teaching a Sunday school class, singing in the choir, going on visitation, living a godly, holy life. But I'll tell you what we have gotten caught up in. That's what makes us feel good about being a Christian, when what should make you really feel good about being a Christian is that you don't have to do those things to be a Christian. You're already acceptable before God as a believer in Jesus Christ. You don't become better as you do more. You need to become what God wants you to be before you begin to act like God wants you to be. There's a lot of people in churches who base their service or their They base their Christian acceptability in their service. That's where kingdoms come from. So they begin to establish a pattern. Well, I've taught Sunday school. I've taught the kindergarten for 45 years. But when you're falling asleep teaching the kids, probably shouldn't be teaching them anymore. Well, I've done it! And you can't take this away from me. Actually, I had people say to me, straight up to me, you can't tell me how to serve in this church. Well, if you read the Bible, there is an order of who's responsible for who tells who what. Now, I can't tell you how to serve in this church, but the preacher can. You don't walk up to him and say, I believe God's called me to be the new youth director. We already have a youth director. Well, God's called me to be the youth director. Well, we already have one, so we don't need you to be the youth director. How about you sit and we learn who you are and we'll understand that? Well, you can't do that to me. You can't tell me how to serve. It's in the Bible. Actually, it is in the Bible how you're commanded in the structure of the authority in the church. It's very much in the Bible. And you're wrong. It's not like he knows God's perfect will for your wife. But wife? Maybe he does. But for your life. But I will tell you this much. He knows what the Word of God says concerning the order of things in the church. And too many people get wrapped up. This is what Paul said. How can we as Jews who don't live according to the law anyway require people to do things that we can't even do? There's a lot of people then who would say this. If you're not working in the church and serving in the church, you can't be a Christian. Wait a minute. That's Jesus Christ plus something. And that's not what the Bible says. If it's Jesus Christ plus nothing, that's how I'm acceptable to God. Now again, don't go, well, he said I didn't have to serve. You're not listening because we're not at the end of the message. There is a point to this. The point is don't we as Christians many times tire ourselves? Because we think we got to do this and this and this and this and this and this. When truly you're acceptable to God, if you're serving for the right reason, and this is the point of this particular point, if you're serving in the right reason, you're not going to be the person who says, well, I can't serve anymore because I'm burning out. So there is a way to serve and be very satisfied with your service, but not like this. Oh, I got to go teach those stinking kids again. I got to go. If I'm not there, the preacher's going to ask me, where were you? I mean, you can't just not show up for your Sunday school class. Can't just show up for, you got to show up for practice for choir. I don't know what that's all about. I know how to read music. You can know how to read music, and Brother Jeremiah might change the phrasing or something, and you're going to look like a soloist, and you are not intended to be. If you want to be in the choir, submit to a choir practice, or don't be in the choir, because God never asked us to serve like this. Oh, this is such a burden. This is my cross to bear, being a bus captain, bringing the little kids in. You know, Christians get tired of service because they say, well, my service, I've got to do and do and do and do and do. It doesn't matter who I am. Do you know God's more concerned about who you are in private than who you look like in public?
Amen.
Well, Brother Ron, where'd you get that? Peter, who was saying, no, this is the gospel. But when the Jews came in, he goes, I can't be seen with them. That'll make me look bad. I am a Jew and I should not be. That was not one of the established. That's not in the gospel. They were saved. He was the one who said, we're saved the same way that they're saved. That the fact is, we're so concerned about what we look like that we don't consider the gospel is the reason we should serve. I don't know. I know at Temple Baptist Church, and I have. All of you may be the best servants in the world, and you may serve at a level that you're holy, holy, holy. I'm a Sunday school teacher. I read my Bible every day, and I still serve the Lord. I don't know. That may be you. You might say, I don't know. I'm going to start singing that song. That's a great song. I don't have the words for it. It just popped out of my head. I'm not sure which person came up with that. I was already asked, which person are you today? That means Twyla said things. She told family secrets, and I'm very angry. So one of my personalities is angry. So now you say, Brother, what does it... If you're more concerned about the way you look than who you are, you have a serious problem. And you're going to get real disappointed with service real quick. See, no person in this room that is born again should do things to please people. They should do it because they believe the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that love constrains me not to serve me, but to serve Him. See, that's the difference. There's a lot of people in churches who care, just like Peter, what they look like. I'm serving over here with these people. Oh, here comes some friends. That also goes with when you're in the world. So it looked like Peter was in the world eating with the Gentiles. When the Jews came in, it was like another holy sect came in. And so he had to live according to their rules. Do you know there aren't multiple rules? Do you know you're supposed to be the same around the people that you're trying to witness to as you are around the people in the church? Do you know you can't be like the people you're trying to witness to and win them to Christ? And when your friends come from church and you have to start changing your language and start changing your dress and start changing your attitude, you know what that means? You're a people server. You're not serving for the right reason. And that just says one thing. You're not who you're supposed to be. Brother Ron, are you saying that Peter was not who he was supposed to be spiritually? I am telling you, Peter has already determined. He is the one who stood up and said, we are saved the same way they are. He's already made the point that there's only one way to go to heaven, and it's only through Jesus Christ. Now the Jews have come in, and he's changing the person he is. And I can tell you right now Peter couldn't have been happy about that. There's no way. If you read 1 and 2 Peter... there's a different Peter that the Holy Spirit of God is writing through right there. You know why? He learned something. In fact, at the end of this, of his second letter, at the end of, doesn't he talk about the things that Paul preached that were hard to understand, but that are true and necessary? Read it. It's pretty amazing. Paul stood up and said, you can't, if you're serving God, you can't do it just in front of men. It comes from here. And that is why he withstood him. That's why he went face to face with him. Let me just give you one other example. We'll move to the next point. You're friends with somebody that serves in the church, and they begin to complain about the leadership of that area. And I like to use the choir because I'm the choir director, and I know everybody doesn't like the choir director because he makes you practice. He wants you to say your words right. He wants you to cut off right. He's so demanding. And he's tall. You can't... And he's almost bald. It's just all these bad things. I love Brother Jeremiah. He's a good guy. And he's... The music here is fab. I'm just very thankful. And that's how you make good music is you practice. And are you in the choir? Good. You're too young? Perfect. So I have to go to choir practice. He goes, well, why do you have to go? Because if I don't, Jeremiah, he probably won't let me sing that new song we're going to sing. I could learn it in like 5 seconds. God's given me a gift. Yep. You probably have heard me. No? I just sang. Yeah, I don't know why those requirements are there. I get so tired of just going and... Why can't we have choir practice like once a month? Probably because the preacher would kill him. He only has one job, people. Let it go. And what? I just... It's football season. I'm a bass in the choir.
I better go sing.
I've never been a bass in the choir.
I better go sing.
Oh, no. I need to watch the game. The Colts are playing. They might win. They might lose. 50-50 chance. But I like to watch them either way. All of this service. Oh, we're having a teacher's meeting. Do you know, you should be glad you're not a teacher. Whoa. That's a bummer. How would you like it if the preacher got up and said, boy, you should be glad you're not a pastor. You have to invite people in because their wife spoke. I could be preaching right now. And now he's saying, and I'm never having her back. Thank you for answering that prayer. Wouldn't it be and I know your preacher. I love his whole heart and attitude. He's a kind man. I didn't realize how kind he was until this weekend. He just lets his wife do whatever, like any good pastor should. Hey, it's ladies' conference. I don't want nothing to do with it. You go, girl. All right? And don't ask me why I'm so distracted by that, but I'll tell you why. Because I've been around them to know, enough to know, not a lot, but I've been around them enough to know they're exactly the same people they are everywhere. Why? Because it's not a matter of how they look to people. It's what God's thinking. Look at the next point that he makes here. So he says in verse number 18, for if I build again the things which I destroyed, I make myself a transgressor. For I through the law am dead to the law that I might live unto God. So Paul says, I am not my intent, and he's telling Peter this. Remember this. This isn't something he's just now telling the Galatian churches. This is still withstanding Peter to the face. He's saying, Peter, listen, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter what I think. What I preach and what you have preached are contrary to your actions. You and I are to live to God, not to live in front of people. And if I go back and live in front of people, then the very thing that I have preached is a lie. I'm transgressing against the law that I say is of none effect. Now, when I am consumed with working and working and working and not living to God, then you and I, as just human beings in general, are going to struggle all the time with our commitment. Now, I don't know, again, about Lighthouse Baptist Church. I do know about Temple Baptist Church. It seems like people can make a commitment and then 2 weeks, 2 hours, 2 seconds later, get up from the altar and go, now what was I saying? What commitment was I making? Who am I living unto? Why did I choose to live there? I mean, I just made a commitment to get rid of that thing in my life or to make a commitment to be a Sunday school teacher or make a commitment. Now, wait a minute. And then someone comes, you make the commitment. It would be like this. A person commits and says, boy, the Lord has called me to the mission field. And they come up, they present themselves before the church, and they start getting prepared, and they start moving that way. And then all of a sudden, they decide, you know what? I'm just going to go get a job. This is too hard of a commitment. This is to live unto God is too hard. Well, when we make that commitment to live unto God, in other words, I'm saved by grace and that's the way that I'm going to live and I'm going to live in that grace and I'm going to live to God. When I start living another way, it's a transgression against the way that I said that I believe that I am saved. So if I'm working out these things, then I change my mind about it, which is exactly what Peter did. He said in front of the whole council in Jerusalem, this is the way that it is. And see, often we don't think about, he's not telling us this, he's telling Peter this for a reason. Peter's over here like, I can't eat with those people. And here's what Paul's saying, wait a minute, this has already been decided. So this decision over here looks like you're lying about this decision. You can't do that. If you live unto God, you must... This is the big, long part of this point. You must live unto God. Amen. Not to you, not to Lighthouse Baptist Church, not to Brother Tid or Mrs. Tid. You live to God. Right. Now, that does not mean you get to do what you want. It means I'm making a choice to live according to this gospel, Amen. This truth. I'm not going to change my mind about it. I don't care how I look in front of people, but I do care how I look in front of God. Amen. And that was the point. When will you and I include myself in this, because no preacher gets up and preaches a message that doesn't, well, if he can, he hasn't studied well. But isn't it true that a lot of times we say we're living to God and that we say our service is to Him, when in essence, we really don't know what that service is supposed to be anyway. We're just doing stuff. Do you know people shouldn't be in the choir just because they can sing good? They should be in the choir because there's a song in their heart. Because it wasn't put there by man. Because Jesus Christ is alive. Because what we're doing here is worship. What we're doing here is glorifying God. We don't come to church to glorify one another. We come to church to exhort one another. Amen. We come to glorify the living God. Amen. If you come to church and you're serving and your intent is not to glorify God and live unto God, I hate to be the bearer of bad tidings. You are wasting your time. Because this is not about you. What? How many of you kids, well, they don't do it very much anymore, but we used to say this to my daughter. Contrary to what you think, this is not you, and this is not the world. The world doesn't revolve around you, Rachel. Whether you think it does or doesn't, it doesn't. What?
It's not all about me.
No. Driving down the road, talking about things of God. We truly were talking about things of God. Out of the blue, Rachel says, well, that's very interesting. Can we talk about me now? Now, this is when she was younger, like 2 years ago. So I think she was 16. But you and I need to be reminded. And evidently, Peter did too. We don't live into ourselves. We live unto God. Why? He's the only one who could come up with the plan to save us like this. So this should make verse number 20 very simple to understand. Very simple. For and I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And here's the phrase we often break up and miss, but this is the whole meat of this particular verse. And the life which I now live, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's not broken up, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's, and the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. It's one continuous thought. I cannot say I am crucified with Christ and live unto myself. I can only live by the faith of the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. This is the freedom of this verse. So I don't have to look a certain way in front of people. I have to live to God. But I can't live to God because I am crucified with Christ. But I'm still alive. But it's not me that's alive. It's Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, whoa, do I live in the flesh? Yeah, I do. Is there anybody not breathing in here? We need to call an ambulance. If you're breathing in here, you're living in the flesh. But I don't live it anymore my way. I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's his faith that carries me through this life, not my faith. My faith is weak. But when I am weak, he becomes strong. I don't have to be something I'm not. I can be exactly who he's designed me to be. And that's the awesomeness of being able to say, I'm supposed to be a Sunday school teacher. Well, how do you know? God just placed it on my heart. This is what I'm supposed to do. Woo, it's the best thing I've ever done. That's why you get people who can go through, teach Sunday school for years and years and years and years and cry when they leave it. Because they were never serving in their own strength or their own faith. They were serving by the faith of the Son of God. They loved those kids. They loved those adults. That's why when preachers leave churches, they're weeping mostly. Now, some of them are weeping for joy, but others are weeping because they're sad that they're leaving the people that God allowed them to minister to. And I'm going to tell you, most preachers I know are like that. Not all, I'm going to be honest, but most preachers are like that. They're going to, when they leave, it's going to be sad. Why? Because they were never living by their faith. Let me tell you, a preacher would never stay in a place if it was all about his faith on his own. Do you know how some of you look right now? You got that set jaw? Some of you are like this. These are the most disappointing people. The awesome thing about serving God is when you know that you didn't put you there, that it was all brought about by the way that you followed the gospel and the way that God worked in your life and changed your life and brought you away from trying to please men, but living unto God. And as you made that transition, most of the time you don't even know you make the transition, and all of a sudden you're serving God. And listen, when you're serving God by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me, you never go like this, oh, I hate this. Sunday school teaching, choir practice, visitation, ladies conference, even if you're a man. No, here's what you go. Ladies conference? We get to minister to all those ladies. Boy, God, you know what God could do? Church, singing in the choir? Man, God, let my heart be, let it reflect your grace, your mercy. Let people see it on my face, not me. If I mess up, let me mess up good, but have a good look on my face. Why? Because sometimes we're going to mess up. Does every message a preacher preaches he thinks is a home run? Absolutely not. In fact, he gets told by his wife or other preachers that stunk. Here's the rest. I did what I believed God wanted me to do. I preached from His Word, and I don't know what else to do. Should a man be prepared? Absolutely. Come on. Can he always defend his ridiculous statements? Only if they're in the Bible. Should I ever gauge my service on people's response? No. Why? I'm not in charge of that. When I'm serving because of the faith of the Son of God, do you know Jesus didn't have a lot of response in his ministry, did he? Nope. He didn't have a lot of followers. But the followers that did follow him, followed him with their whole heart. Amen. Because when he raised from the dead, they went, this is not about us. It's about the power of God in us. And that power was revealed in his Son. And that's the only gospel that matters. So how do you serve? First of all, are you saved? If you died right now, are you sure you'd go to heaven? Have you accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ? Brother Ron, I don't believe that. You know what? It doesn't matter what you believe. It only matters what the Bible says. If you believe what the Bible says, then you're going to heaven. But when you serve, how do you serve if you're saved? Do you serve by the faith of the Son of God who loved you and gave himself for you? See, it always goes back to the gospel. Always. Every head bowed, every eye closed, nobody looking around.